Hi everyone, and welcome back to another session of Seller Speak. Today we will be talking about how to sell on Amazon the right way. We have a very impressive speaker with us today. So let's watch this quick intro and get right into the session. Hi everyone, I'm Riya Mithil and I host the Seller Speak sessions on Seller App platform. So we have Dan Ashburn with us today. Hi Dan, how's it going?
I'm good, Riya. Thanks for having me.
Oh yeah, I mean, you're such an impressive speaker. So let me introduce you guys to Dan. He has a very impressive bio, so allow me to read it. It says that Dan Ashburn and his industry leading team are responsible for delivering 8 figures in annual sales on Amazon. Very impressive. Operating in online marketing for 17 years, he is an international speaker, advisor, co-founder of Seller Events, co-founder of the Titan Networks, which is the largest advanced Amazon seller mastermind. And he's the head mentor of China Magic, where he takes 100 people to China twice a year. And more recently, the co-creator of Amazon Selling Machine that has helped over 30,000 people to get started on Amazon. Damn, Ash. How old are you?
I am 30. Yeah, I am 30. I got started young. Yeah.
Great. Yeah. I mean, you've done quite a lot. Co-founder of 2 companies. Congratulations.
Yeah, appreciate it. I've actually got another 2 companies in different market as well. So I'm definitely a busy guy. But when I was in the military, I learned all my organization and I run a tight ship. I've got something in the region of about 85 people that work with me now. So it's fun, it's a busy day, but it's rewarding and I enjoy it.
Well, we're so glad to have you on our Seller Speak session. When you're going to tell our Amazon sellers how they can sell on Amazon the right way. And yes, so let's get started with the session. So this session is targeted towards basic sellers. So because a lot of our sellers came to us requesting basic videos, how to get started on Amazon, things that you're supposed to know about. So yeah, we've got Dan here to answer all your questions. So to begin with, let's trace an Amazon journey. Yeah. So we know that Amazon journey starts with identifying a good product. So, and then you source it, of course. So what, according to you, Dan, in your expertise, have seen products that do really well on Amazon, and how do we find a product that sells?
Okay, good question. So when it comes to selling on Amazon, yes, it's important to pick the right product, but it's also a really good idea to have an idea of the type of customer that you want to serve. I define this as the audience you're serving. So yes, picking a product is important, and we'll go exactly into what that means here in a second. But if you have no vision for who the customer is that product's going to be sold to, what problem you're solving, what pain points, the specific need of that customer that's buying that product, it makes it a lot harder. Gone are the days where sort of 2013, 2014, where you could literally just pick a product, put it on Amazon and make a load of money. That doesn't really happen anymore. Yes, you might get lucky, but that doesn't really happen anymore. To be successful on Amazon, you need to have a good understanding of not only what's the first product that you're going to pick and launch, what's the second, third, fourth, and even fifth product. So you can start to develop what we call a range of products under a brand that serve a specific audience. So to make this a bit more tangible, maybe you're selling a product that serves working mums who need convenience, reliability, but affordability. So that might be kitchen products, it could be fitness products, but there's a very specific need there of like a working mum. Or maybe you're into cycling and you're serving that sort of mid-market cycling enthusiast who's going out on a Thursday evening after work with his friends cycling, and he wants good quality stuff, but he's not a pro, he's not looking for that high range stuff. Or maybe you're serving a certain age bracket of kids. Like we all know, I've got 2 kids myself, Rhea. Maybe like you're serving that baby stage of 0 to 1. Maybe you're serving that toddler stage of 2 to 5, or even developing through school from 5 onwards. So it's a really good idea before you start thinking about the perfect products. Who are you serving and what problem is that product solving? Once you've got a good idea of that, then it's time to start thinking about the product. And there are some basic principles to look for. You will see all over the internet all these different criterias and all this different way of doing product selection. But essentially, it comes down to sort of 1 or 2 things. Firstly, there has to be proven demand. There has to be existing demand for that product on Amazon. The reason we're selling on Amazon is we are going to leverage their massive pond of customers so that we don't have to go out there and find our own customers. we're just taking a product to a market of people already shopping. So in that sense, we need to find a product that has proven demand. So using tools like Jungle Scout, like Managed by Stats Retriever, Helium 10, X-Ray, these are all Chrome extensions. And Managed by Stats Retriever is actually free for the basic version that will allow you to open up a search result on Amazon. Let's search bath caddy, for instance, which is a wooden thing that goes on the bath. And then using that Chrome extension, we can see the level of sales they're doing, how much revenue they're generating, how many reviews they've got, etc. But then within that, there is a sense, there's two more points we need to be looking for: profitability and competition. So there's no point in launching products on Amazon if they're not going to be profitable. And the quick check for that is when looking on websites like Alibaba.com for sourcing, or maybe sourcing locally, maybe in India or Thailand or Vietnam. Often these are the best markets. You need to ask yourself, can I buy this product for 25% of what I'm going to sell it for? Or another way to say that is, can I sell this product for 4 times what I buy it for? And what we found is that's kind of like a quick check to say this is profitable or not. Yes, you're going to get deeper. You're going to go and get your costs. You're going to check out the Amazon fees and then figure out what the true profit is. On a quick check, if you know that you can buy that product for a quarter of what you're going to sell it for 25% of what you're going to sell it for, then you're definitely in the right region. So that's check one. The second check is the competition check. So when I launch this product, how, one, expensive, and two, difficult is it going to be to launch? So if there's if page one of the search results, all of the sellers have thousands of 5-star reviews, then you're going to find it very difficult to launch that product and compete. Because think about it, coming into that market, there is no proof that your product is good because you don't yet have any reviews. So whilst you can launch at a cheaper price and then move that price upwards, the reviews are a big factor on that. So what we tend to look for is, within the top, say, 30, 60 results, page one and two, are there sellers with a few hundred reviews selling a few $1,000s worth of product? Are there sellers with a few more hundred, sort of maybe above 500 reviews, selling a few more 1,000 products? And then are there sellers with thousands of reviews doing hundreds of thousands in revenue, for example? Because what we're looking for is that natural progression where I can enter at the low point with lower reviews, maybe $5,000, $10,000 in revenue. And then over time, 6, 12, 18 months, I can work my way up by gaining reviews, gaining visibility through ranking my products for keywords, and then work my way up to those top spots. So first off, audience. Secondly, profitability. Third, competition. And then there's a fourth one, which is a big one in today's world. How can I improve this product? How can I differentiate this product? And how can I serve a better product to the market? The best way of doing that is reading all of the negative reviews of all the existing products and then understanding, how can I make this product better? Because releasing a better product is going to make you stand out. It's going to get you better reviews. And in turn, it's going to generate more sales on Amazon. So yes, it comes down to proven demand, profit, competition, and then differentiation. And they're kind of like the 4 points what we want to be looking for.
I think that was perfectly put. So if I was starting to look on selling on Amazon, this would be well put. Like, yes, this is how you need to find a product. And if you want your product to be, if you want to find your product in an easier way, check out Seller App's product research tool. It's free and it will be linked in the description or it'll be there in the video. So do check that out. So yeah, Dan, that was amazingly put. So we at Seller App follow a 5X model. Or 4X sometimes, yes. So we either do 5X or 7X depending on your product. So I completely agree on, if you're not able to source a product, let's say from Alibaba, or you have a lot of India, China, Vietnam are like really good countries to source your products from. But if you're not able to sell it for at least 4X or 5X, you won't be able to restock your product. Because there is a lot of cost associated to selling your Amazon product, which we will talk about later in the video. So yeah, so keep an eye out on that. So for our next question, you've sourced your product and now you have opened your Amazon account. Do you go FBA or do you go FBM or do you go both?
So this is a timely question, depending on who's watching this and where we are in the world at the point of watching this. Historically, I would have gone FBA all the way. because you don't handle all the logistics. You get the benefit of Prime, which helps towards conversion, click-through rates, which all help towards ranking and generating sales. But with where we are today in today's climate, my answer would be both. And the answer is both because you're forced to do both. With the impending inventory limits that are currently involved in Amazon, so the average is roughly 200 units per ASIN at the moment. And there are ways of increasing that over time and circumventing and stuff. But you are forced to leverage both platforms or both ways of shipping to maintain an in-stock status. As you know, one of the worst things you can do on Amazon is run out of inventory. Because whilst you've run out of inventory, not only are you slowly losing rank because your sales history performance is starting to decline, your competitors who are still in stock are gaining on your rank and starting to take over your positions. So running out of inventory is one of the worst things that can happen in the business. But with an inventory limit in FBA of 200 units currently, it's very difficult. If you're selling, we've got products that sell 200 units a day. Now, obviously we've got higher limits on those, but for that example, if you're selling 10, 20 a day, then you're only ever storing 10 days worth of inventory. So you're forced to have what is known as a 3PL or a third party logistics warehouse in place. So you ship your inventory from India or China or Thailand, wherever you're sourcing from or locally, to that storage facility, that 3PL, third party logistics company. And then from there, you drip feed inventory into Amazon FBA. And whilst Amazon FBA is definitely the priority, what we do is then we also have an FBM listing so that in the event that we have any issues with inventory in FBA, we can flip that listing to FBM and start fulfilling the orders ourselves from the third party warehouse. So we still maintain that in-stock status, we still own that buy box, we still generate those sales, but we're reacting to the inventory restrictions, I suppose you'd call them, that are currently in place. And I think as we come out of this, as the pandemic and everything starts to die off, hopefully into 2021, Amazon start getting a handle on the logistics and the capacity of these fulfillment centers. I think what's going to happen is people will continue to operate that way as it just gives that level of security and protection. And previously, I believe that FBA made it a bit lazy for people. They didn't have to because they could send as much as they wanted to. Amazon would take care of it. But I believe now with what's happened, we've all had to step up a little bit. And I believe we'll continue to do so. So it is a combination of both for sure.
Yep, and especially with the holiday season coming up, I suggest you all to make two listings for FBA and FBM because you do not want to lose out on sales, especially when Q4 is the one season where you make the most out of it. So adding on to what Dan said, I think the size of your product also has to do a lot with FBA and FBM. So if I'm sending out gift basket, I would choose FBM because I'm sure that if you have a bigger gift basket, the chances of you getting a place in the Amazon warehouses is going to be low. And plus, you don't know the conditions there, so your gift basket, especially if it has edibles in it, might get spoiled. So a lot of our sellers who are bundling up their product and selling them at gift basket, we always suggest them to have FBM just as a backup if they don't get place in FBA. And coming to the listing, I have one question here. Do you suggest people have two different listings for FBA and FBM, or one listing works for both, or you can just flip it as you mentioned?
Yeah, so we are tending to have two separate listings right now. Historically, we would just flip on and off because it wasn't that important to us at the time. But yeah, my advice right now would be separate listings for sure. It just gives that extra sort of protection, extra flexibility. If anything goes wrong with the FBA listing, you've immediately got that backup there. So yeah, as you said there, two separate listings would be advised at this point.
All right, so now coming to the next step of your Amazon journey, you've got your product sourced and you have made an account, which is FBA, FBM, depending on you. And how do you do the listing optimization in a right way? Listing optimization, I think, is one of the most important things that you can do after PPC. So we'll get to PPC right in a second. But when you do listing optimization, I understand that copywriting is very important and you have to get your keyword research in point. So people who are just starting out on Amazon, listing optimization, what do they keep in mind?
So one thing I would say is PPC and listing optimization are pointless if your keyword research is not correct, if you haven't done proper and full keyword research. So listing optimization starts with being very confident in your keyword research. The old method used to be, here is a list of keywords, let's include everything and see what works. That doesn't cut it anymore. We have to be smart and use our competitors' data to drive that insight into keywords. Because you can launch a product that's got thousands of reviews and competitors, be really competitive, but you might find that five or a few of those competitors aren't targeting a certain set of keywords, and that's your opportunity into that market. So with listing optimization, it kind of couples with keyword research, because keywords are everything on Amazon in terms of whether you succeed or not. You can have a great product. And yes, you would, if you throw some random keywords at it, you'll get there eventually. If you have a great product and you understand the keywords driving the market, your success is tenfold. So with that, once you've got the confidence in the keywords, and I just want to make that like really important point, it's important to have a keyword optimized listing, but understand that there's two people you're talking to. You're talking to Amazon's machine learning, its algorithm, its artificial intelligence. And then you're talking to the person viewing the listing that you're trying to convert from an eyeball, essentially looking at your listing, a session, into a sale. So if we break this listing down, the different parts, the title, all I care about in the title is keyword optimization, providing it makes sense and it kind of strings together. The priority for the title is keywords. Now, I'm not stuffing the title. I'm not going keyword, comma, keyword, keyword. It reads like English. But we're definitely prioritizing keywords into the title, and the start of the title being the main keyword we're targeting. A tip for you, if Amazon force you to put your brand name at the start of the title, get on with the catalog team and you should be able to get it moved to the end of the title. It'll help your indexing. That's a bit more an advanced tip. So keywords and title. Following the title, which really drives indexing in Amazon's sort of eye, the human eye, one of the most important things is the main image. Invest in your primary images. Your images, or your main image, I should say, is what determines how successful you are in winning the click. So it's all good and well ranking for a keyword. It's all good and well showing up when someone searches a target keyword, but that's not the end of the journey. You've got to get them to click your listing. Then you've got to get them to click add to cart or buy and proceed with the checkout. So the main image is the number one influence on them clicking your listing. So focus in on that, look at your competitors' main images, look at the best sellers, look what they're doing with their images. How can you improve yours? Behind that, we're then now into the bullets. So the bullet point, yes, we want to keyword optimize. Anything we can't fit in the title, we want to include the bullets. But within the bullets, we want to take a benefit-led approach. So if I said to you, this pen here that I'm holding has this gold clip here, that's a feature. That's a feature of this pen. What's the benefit of that to the person using it? It might be convenience of storage, whatever the benefit of that feature is, and lead with the benefit. Remember, people buy benefits. They expect an outcome. Like if someone's buying a drill, they're not buying a drill, they're buying a hole in the wall. So let's sell them the hole in the wall. Let's think about what the outcome of what they're trying to do. So that's the benefits. And we really want that to show up in the bullet points. Behind that, the search term field in the back end, any terms that you want to get in there that don't really make sense in the front end, that's where you want to put them, search terms in the back end. And then more recently, it'd be interesting to see if you guys agree with this. We're seeing the description index again now. So again, within the description, remember on the mobile view, which is where 70-80% of orders come from, description actually sits higher up on the page. So that opening line of that description, again, a big benefit-led statement. And then that's where you can start to cover any how-to instructions, features, that sort of stuff that you really want to communicate. And if you have brand registry, which is when you register your brand, your trademark with Amazon, actually using more of a graphical description known as enhanced brand content. So really it just comes down to understanding that keywords in title, main image drives winning the click, and then benefit-led copy. If you implement those things with the right keywords, you'll see an increase in your conversion rate, your unit session percentage.
Yep. And while doing that, there are a lot of restrictions that Amazon has put while you're doing listing optimization pertaining to you cannot have any brand names in your backend keywords, because I've seen a lot of sellers make these mistakes and their listing gets suspended. And another reason why, like another point that our sellers bring out quite a lot is, you know, they're spending a lot on images and they're like, is it worth it? And I'm like, yes, your main image, as Dan said, is so important. Yep. And coming to the keywords part of it, Dan, we are actually having a session soon. And that's on how you can run your PPC optimization without doing your keyword research. Like you don't need any keywords at all. And there's a lot of studying going on and there's a lot of articles coming up. So I'm really excited to talk about it. So if you are watching right now, if you want to understand or if it's possible to run your PPC campaigns without keywords, so it is possible and we'll be talking about it by the end of the month. Look out for it, guys. It's so scandalous and I'm so excited about it.
Yep. Yeah, it sounds exciting. So, I'll check it out.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So coming to our next topic, which is very important. So how do you organically rank on Amazon? So everyone wants to be on page one, right? Because that's the main goal. And that's why you run PPC campaigns even. So when you want to rank organically, I understand that there are reviews and ratings that come into play. But how do you get your first sale before getting into reviews and ratings? And how do you do that? Yeah,
for sure. So ranking is kind of like my specialty. That's where I really focus is being able to rank products. And to give you scope, this quarter, we're currently launching 133 products through FBA. It's quite a big operation we're running. And having that much data, as well as obviously the data of my community, Titan Network, Amazing Selling Machine, etc., I have a lot of data available to me to drive these decisions. So if you think ranking, all ranking is velocity against a target keyword, velocity being orders. That's all ranking is. So if we think about how Amazon's algorithm works, it's looking for data to predict how successful your product is going to be at selling for a given search. Yeah. So if you think about the term, the honeymoon period that everyone talks about, all that is benefit of the doubt, because that product, your product, doesn't have any sales history. So the machine can't make a decision on what the future might be because it's got no data to make that decision on. So that's why you get this honeymoon period, which is why it's really important out of the gate, as soon as you get that product live, to start driving sales velocity. So if we think about sales velocity, all that is orders on the listing. But to generate that order, the shopper on Amazon has to have generally searched for something. Maybe clicked on a PPC ad or clicked an organic position, or maybe seen it on a recommended type widget on someone else's listing. But generally the first thing is a click. So click through rates, relevancy to keywords, all of that is influencing this decision. Then once they hit your listing, they need to convert to a sale, being the unit session percentage or the conversion rate. So if we understand that journey, now we need to start thinking, well, how do we generate the orders? Now there are two schools of thought towards this. You can go with a PPC only type launch, takes a bit longer, works. It's about the same cost. It's about the same investment as to doing the second stage, which I'll talk about here in a second. But my view on a PPC only launch is, whilst you're taking 3-4 months to launch a product, I've ranked a product in 2 weeks and I'm making all those sales you're missing out on because I'm ranked already. I believe it to be more profitable overall if you rank faster than that. So if we think about PPC, we target our keywords, we start generating those sessions. We definitely want to do that straight away, because regardless of what else we do, we need Amazon to start seeing people view our listing and not all of them purchasing. If you sent 10 customers to your listing and all 10 purchased, you've got 100% unit session percentage. That's not natural. That's not normal. 100% conversion rate is not a good thing. So we want to send PPC straight away because we want to dilute that conversion. And then we typically use rebates like cashback offers, that sort of thing, to drive that initial velocity. So our rule of thumb is we will pick 2 or 3 keywords that we're really going to target. Those keywords will be hyper relevant, generally longer tail, generally sit sort of 300,000 to 700,000 in search frequency rank out of Amazon's brand analytics. So we kind of know they've got demand, but they're not too competitive. And then for 10, 14, 30 days, depending on how competitive it is, we'll start generating rebate orders through those keywords. And we generally will use a search, find, buy. We'll tell people to just search the keyword, find the product, because it's the most natural, it's the most organic. And we'll start generating that. As soon as we start seeing those keywords we're targeting moving up organically, then we'll start generating organic orders. And our PPC campaigns are already generating orders. And we start to get that halo effect of orders coming from PPC, orders come in from organic, and we continue to push until we get up to page one for those terms. And then we'll swap out the terms and go after different terms. But I should mention before we even go there, we are very confident in our review strategy. So we're using the Amazon request a review function on every single order. We do use product inserts in our products. And we're driving them into lists like ManyChat or an email list and sort of starting conversations there. Because in my view, the more conversations you have, the more positive response you get. Now, you're not asking for a review. Yeah. There's no manipulation. There's nothing like that. We're staying within TOS. But the better experience, the better conversation you have, the more it's going to come. And with increased orders comes more reviews. So how to answer the question specifically, like in terms of how we generate that initial order, friends and family obviously is an option. However, there's all this conspiracy about Amazon talking to Facebook and knowing who your friends are and all this sort of stuff right now. I definitely stay away from family because the same IP address, same internet, all that. Friends, hey, I'm launching this product. Check it out. Order it. I'd love to see what you think. I'll give you the money back. That type of conversation. Or you start building an audience ahead of time. So Instagram, Facebook groups, Facebook pages, these are all ManyChat. These are all great places to start building an audience so that when you launch your product, you've got a list of people to say, hey, you can have this and test the product. Use this coupon or order it and I'll send you the cash back. Whichever way you're going to run that, the rebates are more effective than coupons because it's a full price purchase, and generate it that way. And then just continue to monitor that. And a final point on that, Raya, which I'm a big believer in, is you must track the data daily. If you're not tracking your data, you're not improving anything, because what doesn't get managed doesn't get improved. Or what doesn't get measured doesn't get improved. So if you're not tracking that data, knowing exactly how many orders you generated that day, if you generated 10 orders that day, how many of them came from PPC? How many of them came from organic? I can tell you that after launch, our target is around 30% PPC, 70% organic, and we find that ratio to be the profitable ratio. Just tracking that data daily. But it really just comes down to getting those initial orders for target keywords.
Yep, and I understand that targeting, or like, understanding how your PPC is working can get a lot, like it can get overwhelming. So I always suggest people to have a second set of eyes on your account, because tracking your orders can get really complicated. Even if you're not doing it right, you don't know what to improve, if my price is right, repricing strategies and whatnot. So yes, that's when I think SellerApp and Titan Network comes in, we are here to help you. Let us help you and you'll see the difference almost immediately. So that's our belief. Coming to reviews. So I had a session with Colleen and she works with Ecom Engine, who solely deals with reviews. And she told me a very interesting point, She was like, rather than requesting a review, you can ask people to like the review that they find most helpful. That way, it takes less amount of time. People are more willing to do that. And you can see the difference almost immediately. And fake reviews, oh gosh, like I have seen a lot of sellers' accounts getting suspended because of fake reviews. And mind you, during this pandemic, Amazon is not, helping sellers whose accounts have gotten suspended immediately, especially for fake reviews. And if you get a negative review, again, Amazon is not really helping sellers to get that negative review removed. Yeah. So if you're playing around with reviews, make sure you're very careful. And do not use black hat techniques. I would say no keyword stuffing, no fake reviews. Be authentic and you will see the results when you're more authentic, because how would you know what you want to improve in your product if people are not telling you? Exactly. So, right?
And I think the days of those sort of more black hat tactics, those more gray areas, they're gone, they're over.
Hopefully.
You've got to toe the line. I mean, a lot of people still do it, but Amazon's definitely getting better at recognizing them. And if you're, I think the difference, Raya, is are you putting a product on Amazon to make a bit of cash, or are you building a real business? And if you're building a real business, you need to be confident in the future. And being confident in the future means following the rules.
Yeah, that was very well put. I'm going to use that in all my meetings from now on. So thank you for that. All right. So let's have a quick recap. We have your product ready. We have sourced it. We have figured out the FBA, FBM. We know the listing optimization now. Now is everyone's favorite topic, PPC. Everyone wants to know how to do PPC, how we can make it cheap. So to begin with, do you suggest that people get brand registered right away when they start selling on Amazon, or do they give it some time? Because brand registry has a lot of cons, but it also takes a lot of time to do so. So do you suggest that people start doing it right away? Because I understand that not all of the advertising types will be available for you if you don't do your brand registry. So if you can shine some light on it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, for someone starting out, it's less about the advertising types. I mean, obviously you've got sponsored brand video and all that good stuff, but mm-hmm. someone starting out to get distracted with creating videos, like it's fantastic. We are generating a lot of revenue from that advertising channel. But it's less about what it gives you and more about the protection it creates. With brand registry, you do get better protection against sort of hijackers, counterfeit sellers, etc. So I always recommend getting brand registry as soon as possible for that reason. And with that, Amazon's IP accelerator program is actually quite good. It only costs a few $100. As soon as their recommended lawyers say, yep, we're happy with this, they give you brand registry before your trademark even passes. So since IP accelerator, I actually turn around and go, well, it's not actually that much work. You have to fill out a form, send it off, wait a couple of weeks, and you've got brand registry. So I do recommend it for that, because the amount of counterfeit selling, hijacking, etc., that does go on the platform. Without that brand registry, like a member of my team used to work at Amazon, and they used to work in the catalog team. They've worked in the brand registry team. So I know this side of the business inside out because I've quizzed him on that side of the business. And he worked at Amazon for something like 8 years. Like he was quite senior in that department. And yeah, so with that, without that level of protection, let's say your listing gets suppressed or anything goes on there, it's very difficult to get the buy-in from Amazon without it. So it's just more of a protection mechanism. I recommend it. Yes, it does open up the different advertising channels. In terms of how easy it is, providing that you're not infringing on anyone's trademark, providing you've done your proper branding research before coming up with your brand name, it is very easy now with the IP Accelerator program. And a quick Google search, you'll find all the information on it. You can do it yourself where you go and get your own trademark and submit it like the old way, but that does take longer. I mean, it takes 6, 12, 18 months sometimes. But brand registry now, it can take just literally a few weeks.
All right. And does the brand registry help you get into the ungated and gated categories?
Yeah. So getting ungated isn't a difficult task. There's just a few. It's not complicated, but it is work. So yeah, I mean, there's application processes, there's documents you've got to submit and fill out. And providing that Amazon are happy that you've ticked all those boxes, then sure, it's actually quite easy to get ungated. But there is quite a few hoops you have to jump through. So before even considering placing an order for a gated product, just make sure that you understand the requirements of getting ungated, start that process. But there's a lot of benefit to doing that work because it's a barrier of entry to loads of other sellers that aren't doing it because they can't be bothered to go and get ungated. So I quite like the gated categories for that reason. You'll struggle right now in Q4 in some of the categories like toys, etc., because they're just not accepting new sellers. But wait until normal Q1 through Q3, you're pretty good.
Yep. And even the masks that are, you know, selling a lot during this pandemic, there are they're gated categories now. So I think there's a high demand. And if you're willing to do the work, jump some hoops, as Dan said, it's a really good category to look into. Yeah. So coming to the numbers part of the session, how does one calculate their net profits? And this is the time where we talk about Amazon fees and different fees that is associated on selling to Amazon.
On Amazon. So if you come back to like my sort of rough guide of, can I sell it for 4 times what I buy it for? You mentioned 5 times. And I think it depends on the cost base of the product, the volume, the category, the price, etc. So if we look at the products, typically you want to be targeting a 25 to 30% profit margin in this business to make it worth it. Because if I reverse that back, if you think about PPC, people get really scared of PPC and they think they look at it as a cost. They're scared of it. They don't really know what it is. I want to flip that thinking. Think of PPC as an investment in visibility. And depending on where your strategy sits and depending where you are, whether you're in launch, maintenance, or growth of that product, because every product has a life cycle, determines how much you invest. Now, during launch, you can expect to contribute in the region of 30% of a sale towards that PPC budget. And this is what people call true ACOS or TACOs, or the professional word for it is advertising contribution. So typically you're gonna be contributing around 30%. Once you're launched visible making sales, a good target is a 10% advertising contribution. So if I've got 30% profit in a product before advertising, and I'm giving 10% to advertising, which is a metric you should be tracking in your advertising, how much overall are you contributing? Then that only leaves me 20% profit in that product. And now you've then got to determine, is that okay, depending on the volume you're selling? So for lower volume, higher profit products, you'll get more than 20%. if you start going below 20%, you need to be looking at higher volume products so that you're making less profit, but you're selling more of them. So if we think about what the fees tend to add up to, most categories are 15% commission. So for selling FBA, this is FBA specifically, for selling FBA, Amazon's charging you 15% for selling on their platform, yeah? You've then got the FBA pick and pack fee, so storing, yep, shipping, all the postage, and that is heavily determined by the size and weight of the product, as you mentioned. If you're going down this route, because you talked about gift baskets and stuff, and you want to do FBA, then you need to be looking at products that are smaller and lighter. And if you search FBA size tiers in Google, there's very specific sizes. And you don't want to be going into the oversized categories because it just takes all the profit out. In addition to that, then you've got your cost of your products, which is the cost and the shipping, and you've got your advertising. So if you go to the FBA calculator, and I'm sure SellerApp has something for like this as well, if you for calculating profit and figure out...
Yep, we have a free profit calculator. Go check it out.
There you go. The SellerApp free profit calculator. So I'm guessing you can enter your sort of your FOB price of what you're paying the factory for that product. You can enter your shipping per unit. You can select the category and figure out what Amazon fees are going to be. Now, if you're doing FBM, it's going to be different to FBA. And then you need to understand, well, once I'm launched, I'm probably going to be contributing at least 10% to advertising, if not 15, 20%, depending on the market. And then you need to understand, well, once all those costs have gone, what's left for me? And this is really important because I work with thousands of sellers, and I know so many people who just don't know their numbers. And this is why you need to track the numbers daily as well and have a tool like SellerApp that helps you do that. Because if you don't, you can be busy being busy. You think you're running a business. You think you're running a profitable business, but really you're just cycling money and there's nothing left at the end of it for you. That's the whole reason we do this, right? Is to make profit at the end of it. So 30% is a typical sort of profit margin before advertising for FBA. You can go a bit higher for FBM if you can get your costs down on the shipping and the storage. And then just remember that you're going to be contributing towards advertising. Typically 10% is like well optimized, normally sort of 15, 20%. Does that help?
Yeah, that was very detailed. And you know, when you mentioned that people usually have no profit left for themselves, I had a session with Amy Weiss recently, and we actually sat down with accounts of actual people, and we realized that some people could actually be making more at working at McDonald's than they're making in their Amazon business, which you actually broke my heart. I'm like, because you're putting your heart and soul into your business, and if you don't understand your numbers, it's just pointless. So
this business is numbers. That's it. That's all this business is. It's the whole business is just numbers.
Yeah. So be your own accountant. And if you really want help with your FBA fees, check out this video, which I did with Yoni Mazur, and he covered topics and trips and tricks that will help you reduce your Amazon fees. So now coming to the most exciting and the most exclusive part of the session, what are the secrets of being successful on Amazon? By Dan Ashburn.
Cool. So I call this the Titan way, yeah? And it's a 5-layer approach. So many people in this industry, and I've been around since the beginning of this industry, so many people jump straight into the tactics and the tools. They jump straight into this ranking tactic or this PPC tactic for lowering ACOS, or they go to this tool and they go, this tool is going to solve my entire business and run it for me so I don't have to do anything. But the reality is, to be successful in today's world of selling on Amazon, before you even get to the tactics, you need to understand what you're working towards. What's the end goal you want? Is it a business that produces cash flow and a lifestyle? Is it a business that 3 years from now, you can sell for millions of dollars, as many of people in our community have done, and create that wealth event so you don't have to worry about money again in life? But if you don't know what you want, how do you know what to ask for? And that's really important. So that's that first layer is your vision. Create a detailed vision of your dream business and lifestyle. And then once you've got a detailed vision of what that is, next layer is strategy. We need to create a battle plan. Do I need to launch 5 products at this price? Do I need to launch 10 products? Should I launch this product because this competitor is not doing so well here? This isn't the tactics. This isn't the buttons I'm clicking. This is my game plan of how I'm going to achieve that. So to give you an example, $1 million business is 5 products selling around 20 units a day at a selling price of around $20. That is $1 million revenue business. Now, on a 20% profit margin, that's $200,000 a year in profit. So you can see in my head, I've already started to get a strategic plan of, okay, well, I need an audience and I need to create a range of 5 products that I can sell to that audience. Ideally, that audience is passionate. Ideally,